हरिः ओ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु वहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
सो 717 Punishment is, in reality, the king, the leader and regulator of society, and surety for the four orders' obedience to the law. And so it was only because of punishment, basically, that everything on the social platform functions. You know, it means we're so used to that if you don't do this, then something will go wrong. So that's why people do generally have a tendency to do things that are right. If there was no reaction to anything you do, everybody would be doing anything they wanted. You know, in other words, it's looking at this aspect, you know, the negative aspect, but it's also it's pointing out, because you don't generally use it as the principal drive, you know, for things working. But it still is. Underline. You know, it's not something you necessarily talk. So you talk about the education, you talk about, you know, the other things, the encouragement, but it's the punishment that actually keeps things in line. Yes.
How about encouragement? Where does that figure in?
Encouragement is there, but if something's... See, the point is if encouragement is all that it requires to get someone to do something properly, then you would use encouragement. You know what I'm saying? The punishment is necessary if it goes beyond that. But for many, it's not just encouragement. You know what I'm saying? If you could use it, it'd be fine. But the point is that someone you can encourage means they have some qualities or some knowledge. So that's what is meant here. Considering the time, the place of the offense, the strength and knowledge of the offender. So someone has the knowledge, it's like, you know this, so why aren't you doing that? Oh, as I thought about this and that, well, that doesn't work. So then, okay, so then they follow.
Is it also that encouragement is more on person-to-person basis, whereas punishment is more on a society basis?
It means person-to-person if there is room for actual discussion. And there's an idea that through following this discussion, then things would improve. Does that make sense? But if things aren't going to improve by discussion, then simply you're left with punishment. Right? Because even punishment, the idea is to reform. And so that means there should be an improvement, there should be a development.
It just sounds destructive, like...
It sounds destructive, that's because you've been trained that it's destructive. You know what I'm saying? The liberal society trains that punishment is destructive. But the fun part about liberal society, what's their punishment for those who are not liberal?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Take liberal society. What did they think of Hitler?
Oh.
But if the punishment is bad, punishment is always bad. It's not that it's sometimes bad, sometimes not bad. You know what I'm saying? If it's a matter of it is sometimes bad and sometimes not bad, that's what the Vedas are saying.
Yeah.
Is that when it's necessary, you use it. But when it's not necessary, you don't use it. But the confusion is when it's necessary.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
So is this because they
They
have no absolute.
They have no. That's what we're saying. The liberal has no standards, and having no standards is not good. Because then anything is whimsical, whatever anybody likes. So it means it's from their mind. So you have the element of expression, which may seem important, but expression means it's going to. Where is expression? Either through knowledge, right, or through emotions, right. So the point is if it's based on knowledge, then that's good. Someone has an understanding or sees things that others don't, they should be able to express it because it's beneficial to others. But just doing what you feel like doing, it's only good for you. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, there's no discrimination that you have an intellectual who's a philosopher and he comes up with some understanding of, you know, social system that could improve the standard of the society. He speaks, but the government doesn't like it, so they silence it. Or you have some, you know, person singing all kinds of crazy music, and the lyrics that he used are very destructive and all that. But no, we have to let him express. Why do we have to let him express? Because what's the benefit? Nobody else's benefit. He simply expressed what he liked. Kids may like it, but it's not that the kids liking it, they necessarily know what to like or not to like. You know, kids like taking cocaine also, so should that go on? You know what I'm saying? There has to be discrimination. So, in other words, if intelligence isn't implied with expression, you know, it's just sentiment, then that's not so important. It is on the individual level. So if he wants to sit in his house and make music and sing and all that, as long as he doesn't bother other people, what do we care? Does that make sense? But if he's going to go out and, you know, therefore disturb lives of others and misdirect others, that's not a freedom that's allowed, right? Because otherwise, he's saying all bad language and talking about, you know, down on authority or this or that. So then what's wrong with the guy, you know, standing next to the playground and selling cocaine to the kids? You know, it's freedom, because the kids could take it or not, so it's their freedom. You know, he's saying this is where the problem comes up. So we just take it, no, punishment is bad, but liberals use punishment all the time, but only on people who are not liberal. That's all. So, but the point is nobody, no, there's no one who thinks punishment on all occasions is bad. So the point is punishment shouldn't, this idea that you give a word a bad, you know, connotation so it can't be used is basically useless, because then where it is useful, then you'll tend not to use it. So the point is who are we talking about here? We're talking about kings. Right? So now the guy wants to, he likes your stuff. He wants to come and steal your stuff. So now he's come into your stuff. He's broken the doors. You know, you were there. He beat you with sticks. And so now we should just go over to him and just tell him, hey, it's not a nice thing to do.
Encouragement.
Yeah. You understand? So the point is encouraging is there when you have something to work with. Right? Now, you might be able to encourage him. If he can go out, you're not going to do anything, and he can go out and do that again, why would he even encourage not to do it? Because he's doing it in the first place. Why is he doing that? Does he not like you? That's why he's doing it? You know, is he just have so much desire that he can't help himself? Or does he actually think it's all right to do? You know what I'm saying? So depending upon what it is, then you have to deal with it. If he thinks it's all right to do, why wouldn't he be punished? Because it's not right. You know, if he hates you, then it's a matter of a personal dealing, so you try to work that out. Now, he shouldn't have done that, but the point is then there's more of an opening to work out the problem, because once you work out that problem, he's not going to do that. Unless he gets into fights with everybody, then you have to work out his anger issues. And if he just desires so much in that, then you have to work out, well, why doesn't he have facility? Or is his desires beyond his means, right? He's a good worker, but, you know, he needs more or something like that. Or he's lazy and he just somehow or another, but then that's just sentiment. He has to learn to work. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not working, your facility comes from your work. So if he's not working, then why should he expect more facility? You know what I'm saying? It's not fair. It's not fair on those people who are working that he doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Same time, so he doesn't have facility to work, then create the facility. You know what I'm saying? The point is people have to be protected. But that means everybody's protected. It's not just the criminals are protected. It's also the nice people are protected. You know what I'm saying? There's something wrong with the law. A guy breaks into your house, and then he's going to steal stuff. You come in, you hear the noise. He doesn't think anyone's there. You come out. He gets scared, and he jumps out one of your windows. But he didn't calculate right, because the window he came in was at ground level. But he didn't calculate that the window on the other wall, it's two floors down. So then when he jumps out the window, he breaks his leg. Then he sues you for scaring him that he went out that window. And he wins. Yeah. There's something wrong with that society. The man's a criminal. The man's a criminal. Why is it that the man trying to protect his own house is not allowed to protect his own house? That means government's not protecting him. That's not governance. You know what I'm saying? That's not liberal. Because all those people who will make that judgment, if it happened in their house, they would be freaking out. Take that judge who made that ruling and let the burglar jump into his house. And then when he goes to attack him, he hits him with a baseball bat, breaks his arm, and then he sues him for breaking his arm. Let's see what that judge thinks. And that judge ends up in jail or paying a big amount of money. Let's see what they think. Let's see what all those jurors think. Let's see what all those journalists think. They all think all this when it's not happening to them. So it's not real. It's just sentiment. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is now we can say, well, what about misapplied justice? That's why we're saying these things. We're saying that justice has to be applied, but it has to be someone qualified. That's the next point. But unless you accept that punishment is okay, how do we discuss who's qualified to apply it? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Why this section is so fun is because it brings out the total insanity of the liberal. But at the same time, it shows the very strong weakness of the conservative. Just this one thing. It brings out so many things in the society. Just this one. Because other things, you know, you'll say, well, that's this, and maybe you have to do, or that's fanatic. But this one item, this punishment, it separates and makes things so clear. It's so fun, because the social system, there's something wrong with it. You know, there's something wrong with it. Because there must be standards, people should follow standards. And generally, the point, the reason they follow them, is because they're worried that they'll get in trouble. Yeah. Right? Even, let's say, the man is pious. He does everything himself. But why is he pious?
Results.
Results. That he'll get good results. But what is he afraid of?
Bad
results. So therefore, again, it's punishment. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? The man, you know, doesn't feel like going to work. Why does he go to work? Right? Because he may be fired. Punishment. He'd rather not go to work. Even best would be not go to work and get paid. Hey, that's good, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But the point is that people do because of punishment. It doesn't necessarily mean there's somebody standing there with a stick. It means that there's going to be a reaction that you don't want. You know, because if we talk justice, because that's the fun part, is the ones the liberals are talking that no punishment, but they're also talking justice. But no punishment means no justice.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be worried about both of them.
Does this relate to that material happiness is just the removal of distress? Is there a parallel here, or is that two different things?
I mean, I don't know how you're trying to connect.
I mean, because the punishment is, And if I follow, then I will not be subjected to the negative.
Yeah, you could say, yeah. I mean, in that way, yeah. Mm-hmm. That gives the principle is the same. Mm-hmm. You know, you're instead of removing the pain, you're making sure that the pain doesn't come.
Yeah.
You know, so in other words, it's the inverse.
Yeah.
It means I remove the pain, I become happy. But if the pain comes, then I become unhappy. So I try to keep myself happy. Yeah, same kind of. Okay, does this make sense? So the point is that everybody's using it. Because even if they don't, the parent doesn't use punishment. Right? But you hear that parent go, I'm going to count to three.
Yeah,
what is that? That is, but what does it mean? But it doesn't mean anything, but still everyone's freaking out. They're afraid. What does it do? It generates the fear. The punishment does. Because there's this idea that everybody has the idea that there is something right and wrong. It's inherent. You know, so they use it, they just use their own form that is may or may not be efficient. You know, someone who, the, you know, proper family, proper training and all that, they may never have to use any kind of formal punishment. But because they put so much effort into the training. You know what I'm saying? But when you don't put into training and you don't put into there is no punishment, then what's the meaning? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the problem. Does that make sense? So are we able to move on here or will you?
I'm willing to move on.
Will the North European conditioning just be eating away at you?
No. See, I'm only because I want to be sure I know what to say when I get back there. That's
okay.
The only thing.
I see. Well, it means the thing is it becomes clear when we get to the qualities of one who can punish.
Oh.
That's where it becomes clear. But you can't discuss that until the principle is okay.
Mm.
You know? Because everybody's worried about why is there an idea of liberality in the way of punishment? In the modern idea, why is it there?
Because I may be punished too if I'm...
Yeah, okay, we'll be punished, but what are they afraid of? Because if you've done something wrong, what's the problem with punishment?
When there's no real standard for what is right and wrong.
Okay, there's no standard, but they feel that whatever they feel like that
they're
is the standard.
The right side of
No, but I'm just saying, go back. Is it something that just happened? Just one day, just it happened like that? You know, suddenly everybody's liberal about punishment? Or when did it start?
Enlightenment.
Yeah, enlightenment, which was after the...
The Industrial Revolution, or...
Oh, no, that's there, but I'm just talking about enlightenment. Keep it in the same category, because enlightenment, you know, that's economic.
Dark ages.
Dark ages, okay. But the funny part was is the Inquisitions weren't in the Dark Ages. That's the best part, right?
Yeah.
The Inquisitions were in the Renaissance. The Dark Ages, everyone just knew what they're supposed to do and just did it. And because everyone just did what they're supposed to do, nothing special... you know, stood out, so therefore they call it Dark Ages. But probably everybody was going along quite normally.
The kings are ruling?
Yeah. Yeah, because you're kings, you're fiefdoms. But the point is that people were not punishing properly. They were overly strong in their punishments and that. Therefore, then those who could see that there is differentiation then would feel that the punishment is not proper for the crime, right? They weren't saying there shouldn't be punishment. Mm. They're saying the punishment was overly strong, you know, or there was no restrictions, right? So the point is once we establish punishment, then the qualifications of someone who can do it is made, right? That's what the, as we said, in the Western, all that's discussed is your rights. Right? It doesn't say what your obligation is. You know, if you have the Magna Carta or the international, what do you call it? International, what's it called? International I don't know if it's called Bill of Rights or something. It was something done at the end of World War II. After World War II, then all these countries, you know, basically the Allies got together. Geneva Convention. They said it's just what your rights are, but it doesn't say what your obligation is. That's the problem with the Western approach, is that it's only what your rights are, but what's your obligation? Because the point is, it's where your obligation, that's where the government's rights are. You know, when you're talking about the government and the citizenry. So that's what they don't want to address. They only want to address the government's obligation and my rights. But what about my obligation and the government's rights? That's never discussed. You understand? So there's something wrong there. There's authority issues. This is not balanced. Because the normal balance is the authorities have rights, but they have obligations. And the citizenry have rights, but they also have obligations. So, therefore, if both follow their obligations, naturally their rights are there. So if you want rights, you have to focus on obligation. Right? Because my obligation is someone else's right. Like we saw before, is that if the man in the family, he tolerates everybody else in the family, that's his obligation. That's their rights. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, so the child, his obligation is to respect the parent. Being respected, that's the parent's right. Right? But the obligation of the parent is to protect the child. So being protected is the child's right. You understand? So main thing is, if everybody understands their occupational duty and performs it, then automatically everyone's rights are taken care of. That's what's perfect about the Vedic society. It's already worked out. It's already balanced. If all the four varnas and ashrams follow their obligations, that means all the rights of all the four varnas and ashrams are automatically achieved.
That's why emphasis on service.
Yes, that's why emphasis is on service, not on rights. It's on what your obligation is. An obligation means you have to perform an action. I have a right just means something should just happen.
I just want something.
Yeah, it's just the situation should be improved. I'm doing nothing. But things only improve because someone's doing something. So that means what you do, your obligation, you followed your duty. Therefore, everybody else's rights are taken care of. Right? Does that make sense? That's how it works. So if I'm working for my benefit and you're working for your benefit, we'll get our benefit. But where's the relationship? But if I work for your benefit and you work for my benefit, then we both get relationship. I mean, we both get what we're looking for. Plus you have a relationship. So which of the two is better? Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. The Vedic is having the relationship, working for others' benefit. Therefore, sacrifice, austerity, charity. Mm-hmm. People don't want to do that. But the point is you get benefit, but the others get benefit. Mana is just you just do your own thing. And then, of course, yeah, we're actually supposed to give something to poor people and this and that. You know what I'm saying? You know, your general middle-class people don't get together for dinners and fundraisers and stuff like that. They'll you know, they feel like that they have their charities, or you can go on, like you can find places to give. But the people have lots of money. They have these things. And they go knowing that that's what it is, right? You've already paid $1,000 a plate, right? And there's, you know, all four of you, your whole family. Plus, they're going to raise funds there also, right? Or maybe it's just that. That's all. It's just a nice dinner and there's some entertainment, and the extra money will go further that. But they know what it is, but they don't mind because they think it's good.
It's an element of prestige.
Yeah, the prestige and this and that. But it's also just inherent. We have money. We should give.
Yeah.
Right, people that don't feel like that don't go to these. You know? So the idea is that if you follow this, so they follow their obligation, we have money, so we should give some away, then therefore people who don't have money will get it. But they can't demand, it's our right, you got money, you give us the money. It doesn't work. Right? They tried it in Russia, right? All the people with money, they took all the money. Right? And they didn't appreciate it, so you either kill them or send them to a gulag. Right? And so then the problem is who makes the money? That's really stupid, right? There's a whole bunch of money. Take all the money, and then, hey, how we solve the problem? Yeah, for how long? So who's making the money? The guys who took it aren't making the money. The guys that want the money aren't making the money. The guys who make the money, you've gotten rid of them. So no one's making the money. So you have to give them credit for lasting 70 years.
Yeah, that's
quite, you know, that was pretty good. You know, does that make sense? So the problem is that there's not a balance. You have to have a balance that everybody has. If everybody has their obligations, therefore everybody's rights are taken care of. That's why it's a balanced society. But this thing is, oh, this one needs the rights, and then it goes back to this side, and then it goes back to this side. You know, so it's just. Does that make sense? Okay, here's next. If punishment is properly inflicted after due consideration, it makes all people happy. But inflicted without the consideration, it destroys everything. So that's what's the problem, is it has been applied without consideration. So everything gets destroyed. People aren't satisfied. So the point is no, punishment is there, but it has to be inflicted after due consideration. Right? If the king did not, without tiring, inflict punishment on those worthy to be punished, right? In other words, somebody's done something wrong, so they're worthy to be punished. Now, what that punishment is inflicted after due consideration, right? So then the fun part is if you make all this discrimination, this person, two people do the same thing wrong, one person gets something light, someone gets something heavy, then people go, hey, what's this? I mean, it's not equal. But then if everybody gets the same punishment, so then if the liberals will say, give everyone light. The conservatives say, no, give everyone heavy. But either one you choose, people are unsatisfied. Because the point is when the laws are liberal towards the criminals, who's unsatisfied? The common people. You know what I'm saying? They're the ones that start. If it's very strict, who's unsatisfied? The common people. So the point is it has to be accordingly. Therefore, the people have to be trained. The problem is the government doesn't want to take the obligation of training them. If you train them, then it's so much work to train them, but it's so much easier to manage people who are trained than untrained people. Like that. If the king did not, without tiring, inflict punishment on those worthy to be punished, the stronger would roast the weaker like fish on a spit. The crow would eat the sacrificial cake, and the dog would lick the sacrificial viands. And ownership would not remain with anyone. The lower ones would usurp the place of the higher ones. Right? In other words, that's what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole world is kept in order by punishment, for a guiltless man is hard to find. It means if you do find, but then the guiltless man doesn't do anything wrong, so he won't be punished, right? Through fear of punishment, the whole world yields the enjoyment which it owes. Right? In other words, because without punishment, then you do your work, you give in charity, you're nice to people, you do all these different things. Otherwise, you wouldn't do that. Yes?
Maybe it's that in a spiritual society, the basis of relationship is not a punishment, but love, you know, loving relationship.
Of course. Well, even in the Vedic, it's love. But it's just point is in the back, when love is not there, then there's punishment.
As we take an example from spiritual world, there's no punishment as such.
Because everybody does everything right. Everybody's servant of God. Well, here, everybody thinks they're God. It's just like this. If you take one pebble and throw it into a pond, you get concentric rings that will go across the whole pond. And they're perfectly balanced. But if you take a whole handful of pebbles and throw them in, they'll just be chaos. So the problem comes is we think that the material world is Vaikuntha, and we can make it perfect If everybody is nice and everybody just loves each other, then everything will be wonderful. But when you said Krishna, the whole movement is based on love. Love of what?
Love of Krishna.
Love of Krishna. Not on material sentimental love. You know what I'm saying? But you could have a whole discussion on punishment and love, and I guarantee you could go on for an hour, you know, and this one, that, and so much emotions, people yelling and screaming, people storming out, slamming the door, and probably there's a good chance nowhere in there would there be a discussion about God himself and the connection to it, even though this sentence opens. For the king's sake, Lord formerly created his own son, punishment, the protector of all creatures, an incarnation of the law formed of Brahman's glory. So it would never come up as a discussion. It would simply be your different social considerations that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. They're not based on, it's not that they can't be engaged, but that wouldn't be the reason. So someone from a social class that's more liberal would be pushing liberal. Someone who's from a social class that's more conservative would be pushing that. But what about Krishna consciousness? What about God? Because the point is we'll say it's love, but when we do punish, it's not necessarily balanced. So we either let things go, or excessively punish. There's nothing in between. So that's what it says here. Without inflicted after due consideration, it makes all people happy. You know what I'm saying? You know the example we gave before, when they had the Nuremberg trials and this and that, not that many people were complaining. You know?
Only like 13, 15 that were on trial.
Yeah, but I'm saying people were, you know, quite comfortable. Even the Germans thought it was a bit over the top, you know, so then. You know, so the point is if there's consideration, it can work. But if there's not consideration, right? So why do you have your higher court? You have your regular court. The higher court is known because it has a broader range of experience, so there's more consideration. Supreme Court has the maximum. You know what I'm saying? So that's why there's that faith, because there's more discrimination. What their discrimination is based on, that's another thing. But the idea is that there's more experience there. Yes.
The punishment is in relation with the principle of authority.
Of?
The principle of authority.
Authority, yes. No, it's the point is that, as we saw in the first chapter, is that when God made the creation, he also created what's right and wrong. Right? So the point is something that's in line with what's right is good. Something that's in line with what's wrong is bad. The point is everybody should be living good. It's not that one is out looking to punish people as fun. No, the point is punishment is there just so that people will do what's proper. Because when they do what's proper, everybody benefits. You know what I'm saying? The garbage man comes to work in the morning, takes his truck, picks up all the garbage. Everybody benefits. He gets paid and everybody gets rid of the garbage. Right? But if he decides, you know, he doesn't want to do that, or he picks up half the garbage, or picks up the garbage and then dumps it in, you know, some playground, then, you know, what's the benefit? The idea is that by proper performance of duties, everybody benefits. So if someone doesn't perform their duties, that's the consideration. But then it's a matter of what does it take to get them to perform their duties nicely. Right? So one has to understand what are duties. You know, what is the basis of duties? Right? So God consciousness is the basis of the social structure. And therefore, then, according to one's conditioning, one has a position within that social structure. Does that make sense? The whole world is... Okay. The gods, the Dhanavas, the Gandharvas, the Rakshasas, the bird and the snake deities even give the enjoyments due from them only if they are tormented by the fear of punishment. Right? So it's not even just here. The whole universal affair. Now, could you imagine that? You say, no, but everyone should just be allowed to do why we should be so strict. What if the sun god decided he wanted to have a nap? The sun doesn't come up for, a few days. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's no air to breathe because, Vayu's off on a vacation. You know what I'm saying? So there's bigger things at stake here. We want everything to work perfectly. We want when we go to the machine, we put in our money, we get the goods. We go into a shop, the person behind the counter treats us as if we're something special, even though we're dealing, in an uncultured way. But those are rights. Why would we have rights unless they're performing obligations? So if they have to perform obligations, why not me? Why not the individual? So that's the thing. We take for granted that I have so many rights. But the point is how do those rights come? Someone plays an obligation. Right? The reason you can go out there and get on your Harley and drive down the highway for, days and all that is because somebody paid taxes so that those roads are there. Right? Otherwise, I forget where we were. I think in Kenya. And the discussion came up about next to their, one of their neighbors is the Congo. I'm not sure. I think it's two Congos, but one of the Congos. Like that. And which is the one that's really big. And so then it was under, I forget whose rule. Belgium or somebody. Yeah, it was under Belgium. So when they were running it, they had road systems, everything. So from the border of Kenya to the capital, I forget what it was. It was something like a five-hour drive. But then after the, they had their liberation and all that, and I guess it had been for some time. I'm not sure how long it is. They said now, if you want to get to the capital, it takes 3 weeks. Because there are no roads, there are no bridges, and that, so you have to take boats and this and that, and the local money doesn't work. You have to use gold and jewels and stuff like that. They don't believe in all this other stuff, which may be a good thing, but whatever it is, so. Because they're very rich in those things, but that's all that they deal with. They have officially money, but no one cares about it. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that the government's, no one's paying tax, therefore there are no roads. You know what I'm saying? So we take for granted the government's got to do everything. They're obliged up to the teeth, up to the eyeballs, right? But I should be, free and do whatever I like. It doesn't work like that. Mom should slave away all day, keep the house clean, cook, wash your clothes, do all that kind of stuff. But I just do nothing. It doesn't work like that. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Northern Europe and Denmark in particular, it's going the other way. The tax has been taking 50% of all incomes, but the government is not maintaining the infrastructure.
Yeah, so then that's the... Yes, so that's the point, is they're taking it but not taking care. So therefore, then what will they target? They'll target taxes. But it's not taxes that are the problem. It's the qualification of those who are taking the taxes. That the machinery is not working. So there's no, that's what we're saying, there's no problem with punishment. There's no problem with taxes. Right? There's no problem of authority. It's a matter of what is proper authority, proper taxes, proper punishment. That's what Manu is establishing. Like that. Because if these mentalities are followed, people are satisfied. Because people ultimately are looking for proper relationships. Right? So if authority is just and kind, no one minds. Like before, no one minds that the king is filthy rich and they're not. Because, the king would deal nicely and they'd have that relationship. You know what I'm saying? But if the king didn't deal nicely, then of course nobody likes him. Does that make sense? Like, you know, everybody was happy with Louis XIV. He spent so much money. But somehow no one really appreciated Louis XVI. You know? So like that, it's just, it's because it's also part of the thing. Kings are supposed to be rich and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's just part of the scene. Kings are supposed to be like that. But they're supposed to be, at the same time, powerful and control and just and protect, and so everybody has facility. So everybody's prosperous. We're not as prosperous as the king, but everybody's prosperous. But if they're prosperous and the citizens are not, then it's not going to work. All castes, Varna, would be corrupted by intermixture. All barriers would be broken through, and all men would rage against each other in consequence of mistakes with respect to punishment. But where punishment with a black hue and red eyes stalks about, destroying sinners, there the subjects are not disturbed, provided that he who inflicts it discerns well. So again, it comes back to that when punishment is there, if it's being applied with proper intelligence, right, then everybody's protected and satisfied.
So is it also the king's duty to make sure that there's no mixture of violence? It seems like that from this.
Yeah, because people should be following their duties. Like before in the casita, you know, for the offering to the forefathers. You know, there's a huge amount of text of Brahmas you don't invite to one of those programs. So the Kshatriya should be seeing that if there's some problem, then they can do those things. But if there's no problem, then they shouldn't be doing those things. So if they're doing those things, then either they should take up their natural occupation or re-identify themselves like that. You know what I'm saying? It's still the person's choice. But he doesn't have the choice to not do his duties. Right? That's unlawful. But he has the choice on what duties he wants to perform. Just like you have a choice if you want to get married or not. You don't have to. No one can force you to get married. You know what I'm saying? No one can force you to renounce. It's your choice. But the point is you should be following what's there. You know what I'm saying? And that's what he can enforce. So qualities of one qualified to wield the rod of chastisement. They declare that king to be a just inflictor of punishment, who is truthful, who acts after due consideration, who is wise, who knows the respective value of virtue, pleasure, and wealth. Right? So, at least for the Europeans, it kind of sounds like King Arthur. You know? But that's the point. It's supposed to be someone like that. Vritti. Virtue, wealth, and pleasure are symptoms synonymous with dharma, artha, and kama, regarding the qualification of king. Yajnavalkya states, a king should be endued with great energy, munificent, grateful, given to the service of the aged, humble, virtuous, born in a good family, truthful, pure, up and active, well read in dharma shastras, large minded, devoid of a fault finding spirit, shorn of vices such as gambling, etc. Learned, heroic, capable of keeping secrets, capable of hiding his own shortcomings, well versed in logic, polity, economics, and the three Vedas. Right? So that's a leader. Because you see, he knows the scriptures very well, he follows authority himself, therefore he's able to be one. And he's very large-minded, he's very virtuous, he's very grateful. Right? You know, so all these things is... But he has great energy, so he's always willing to work and see that it all gets done. Yes.
This is like the ultimate Dharma Shastra.
This is the ultimate
Dharma Shastra. I mean, what I'm thinking is there other Dharma Shastra that are relevant to us as students? Or is this kind of...
That's what we're giving Yajnavalkya and Harasa.
Okay.
Means, Manu is for all four ages. But Yajnavalkya and Parasa are writing specifically for Kali Yuga. So all they're doing is emphasizing those points or giving a little more detail. You know, because Mana will give like one sentence, but then they'll fill it out into some verses so that one can understand how to apply it.
Yes. It seems that one of the essential things for a king is to be able to discriminate. But here it says, devoid of fault-finding spirits. So what is the difference between those two?
It means fault-finding, it means discriminating. This means you see what's the strength and what's the weakness. But to emphasize the weakness, that's fault-finding. You got something?
No. I was thinking that maybe I didn't hear it correctly, but hide his own weaknesses.
Hide his own weaknesses, because if the enemy knows your weaknesses, then that's how he'll defeat you. You know, it's just like there was one king, as they had their fort was under siege, right? You know, so the whole city is under siege, and that I think it had been going on for a year. The army had been camped outside for one whole year, so supplies are running out on both sides. You know, the outside army doesn't have hardly anything, but they're hoping that the cities will run out before theirs does, right? So then one person in the whole city, he had this sheep that was like his pet, you know? So he took care of it very nicely. So whatever he'd get, he'd feed it. He'd go out of his way. So the ram was very fat. Very fat. Right? So then the minister said, okay, let's take this ram. They take it to the front, you know, the main gate where the main, you know, in other words, the place where the main commanders of the opposing army are outside. And then they go, and then there's something of changing the guard, and this ram jumps outside. You know, they push it outside. You know, and then they say, hey, come back here, you know, like that. You know, and then, you know, it starts to run away, and then one of the guards says, oh, don't worry about it, there's so many more, so. You know, so then the other army goes, they've been 1 year. You know, like this. We're starving. And they got their sheep is that fat. Imagine how fat the people are. You know, so then they just understood and they're confident. Okay, they lost that. It's a big deal. So then they thought, we're not going to win this. And they just left. So without one shot being fired, they defeated the other army. That's hiding your own weakness. You understand? Being intelligent. That's why I asked that. There's discrimination. Capable of keeping secrets, capable of hiding his own shortcomings. Because the point is it's not that he personally, it's not known by his authorities, but people who are not his authorities don't know, because people who are not his authorities may take advantage. That's the whole point. So, So because he's capable of keeping secrets, his authorities are also capable. But it's just, you know, so he doesn't just discuss with anybody. So, a king who properly inflicts punishment prospers with respect to those three means of happiness, like dharma, artha, and kama. But he who is voluptuous, partial, and deceitful will be destroyed, even through the unjust punishment which he inflicts, right? So now that's what people are worried about, voluptuous, partial, and deceitful rulers, right? But we see, they're destroyed, right? You know, the Indian kings are retiring. They had a successful rule, and then they retire, right? So it's not a problem. But these others, it means if they happen to make it through the first few years, you know, they might make it for a little while, but generally they keep power their whole life, not because of being good, nicely qualified, just being so vicious. You know?
Voluptuous.
Voluptuous means just, you know, absorbed in sense gratification. Like that. So that's the thing, is just the voluptuous, partial, and deceitful. So that's That's why all these Magna Carta and these things come up, because the kings are voluptuous, partial, and deceitful. Therefore, you have to bring in the rules to control them. But the point is still, if the citizenry doesn't follow rules, then what's the meaning? So, in other words, the problem is seeing is, well, it's the authority that's the problem. You know, what is it? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Okay, it means great, but the point is, how can you say that? That's an absolute statement. So that means the person who said it is corrupted himself. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, authority is not the problem. The problem is it's misapplied. They don't have proper character. Therefore, they should make a rule that only those people who are, you know, have these qualities that are there, learned, heroic, versed in logic, knows the three Vedas, only they should be kings. So the point is you make a rule. If he doesn't have that qualification, even if he's the son of the king, he can't be the king. He can't be the king. That you could do. That would be something useful. But to just reduce the power so they can't make so much trouble, but then that means they also can't make so much good. You know what I'm saying? So the point is they should have good character, therefore they do good. But since they have bad character, you're just trying to reduce so they can't do so much trouble. You know, so that's what Prabhupada said. The democracy, you're electing the person and then complaining about it, that you elected him. You know what I'm saying? You know, they say, what was that guy before? Carter or something like that? They had a whole thing and he was impeached. Was it? Nobody knows these things. So he was the president a couple of them back. Yeah, it's like that, or someone just now, I think the Hungarian president just stepped down, prime minister, like that, just a few shortly before was the German, and then before that was the Japanese, and then before that was someone else, and before that was the Japanese, and then before that was something in South America, and then there was the Japanese, and then, like, they always are having people stepping down. So the point is, but they're elected by the people. So the thing is that people aren't trained what to look for. Because if they have the proper character, then what's the problem? You know, so there should be some mechanism to see that they have that character. That's the thing. Not that you control, it's a matter of great character. Let's say, oh, that's so much trouble. But then so is everything. Raising a family is so much trouble. So then why not, you know, ban that? You know, then you don't have to worry about it. You know, it's like everything's trouble.
It seems that the democracy will get tied with a circle because the leaders are not qualified and not interested to train.
They're not trained because they're elected by the people who don't think about training. They just think, I'll elect this guy and then all my problems will be solved. But the point is why that guy? Why not, you know? Point is, if everybody knew the standard, what would they do if they went to the polls, nobody voted? Right, then they have to reconsider, okay, we have to have more qualified people. You know what I'm saying? So it goes back, of course, the people need a leader, so they can't do that. You know, but it's the same kind of thing. You know, but it can be done. In other words, the Vedic is that if you are dealing properly, then you will get that proper result. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So if you're getting anything improper, it's because in the past you've done something improper. Is that? Okay. Punishment possesses a very bright luster, and it is hard to be administered by men with unimproved minds. It strikes down the king, who swerves from his duty, together with his relatives. Then it continues.
Yeah.
Next, it will afflict his castles, his territories, the whole world together, with a movable and immovable creation. Likewise, the sages and the gods, who on the failure of offerings, ascend to the sky. Right? So in other words, you do something wrong, but the point is like, people don't mind in giving punishment. They don't mind being in a position of authority and giving punishments. When they're not in a position of authority, then they talk about how punishment's not bad. It's not good, right? So here is that, but it'll strike down the king, his relatives, everything connected with him. You know? You see, it just goes. Right? You know, the czar, that was the last man, they killed them all, right? You know, it's just, Does that make sense? You know, there's always that idea, well, is this one there? You know, did this one survive? You know, like that. It's not sure. You know, it's that, because it just wipes out the whole family. That's the difficulty. Punishment cannot be inflicted justly by one who has no assistant, nor by a fool, nor by a covetous man, nor by one whose mind is unimproved, nor by one addicted to sensual pleasures. Right. So therefore they can't apply these things. Yes.
Why not apply to someone who doesn't have a good assistant?
How will you get anything done? You have to do everything yourself. Do you get anything done? How do you run a country alone? So you have to have assistance. That's what we'll see later in the chapter. Right now we're just establishing some basic principles. Then we'll talk about the king and all the different things about it. Right? This is 7, right? Chapter 7?
Yes.
Yeah. So then it'll give all the different aspects about the king.
Was it kind of this principle that the leader didn't let Senator Goswami go and the Muslim leader of that? Because he was...
Yeah, because Sanatana Goswami is managing his whole kingdom while he was out, you know, on campaign. So he was the prime minister. Rupa Goswami was the treasurer. Like that. So he had himself, you know, 10,000 gold coins. That was just his own money. Right? So you can see he was quite conservative. Because way under him, tax collectors were Haranya and Mazumdar. And Govardhan Mazumdar. They were making 2 million gold coins a year. But he only had 10,000. So that means he wasn't. So that's why the king liked them. You know, they did their duties. They weren't trying to take over. They weren't trying to control. Even there is when he hadn't come to work and he's just sitting there with all those Brahmins learning Bhagavatam. He didn't become, you know, angry as such. You know, his whole point was this, you know, because he's not trying to take over his throne. He's just trying to be a sadhu. You know, but his point is no, you're too good to be a sadhu. You gotta manage the kingdom. Because otherwise, without him, where's he going to find such a person? Yes.
It seems that this section is not for everybody, just for the leaders of the society.
Yeah, well, the whole work is specifically, but the first 6 chapters, you can, if you're careful what verses you deal with, you can deal more broadly. But these last chapters are specifically, it means that the 12th chapter, that basically is for everybody.
The 12th?
Yeah. But basically from the 7th to the 11th, it means, in other words, if you don't have knowledge and have character, then the next 5 chapters are really freaky.
But we're not going to come up with that. No.
So then should we stop? So the point is that we have to understand that these things have to be there. So it's just a matter of appreciating it. Yeah. In other words, there's no such thing as not having leadership. There's no such thing as not having authority. It's just that what's the qualification of authority? But at the same time, is what's the qualification of those who follow? They both go together. If we only look at one and not the other, there's a problem. So the first 6 chapters are who is citizenry. Right? And then from amongst those persons, the most qualified, they can be the leaders of that citizenry. Right? So unless you yourself know who you are, you can't know who others are. And if you don't know who others are, how can you lead? So therefore the social system leadership starts with self-realization. Someone who's not self-realized or on the path is not fit to be a leader. It's that simple. That's what it says. Whose mind is unimproved. He's not studying, hearing from authority, therefore developing good qualities. He can't be a leader. So this idea that it's just some strategy, some trick, some technique, that's 100 and 1% bogus. Right? Totally bogus. Yes.
So can we say that usually society made their leaders?
Of course. It means the citizenry has leaderships that matches them. Because they're not improved, so therefore the leadership is not improved. Right? Because if you want to get elected, you have to speak something that people will like. You can't go up there and tell them things that should be there. You have to tell them things that they want to hear. Otherwise they don't elect you. Does that make sense? So that's the problem. Let him act with justice in his own domain. With rigor chastise his enemies. Behave without duplicity towards his friends. And be lenient towards Brahmanas. Right? So those four go together. Right? So he's behave without duplicity towards his friends. That means the king actually has friends. Right? The fame of a king who behaves thus, even though he subsists by gleaning, is spread in the world like a drop of oil on water. But the fame of a king who acts in contrary manner and who does not subdue himself diminishes in extent among men like a drop of clarified butter in water. Understand? If you put oil on water, it sits on the top and just spreads. But if you put ghee in water, it gets cold, turns into a drop, and drops down to the bottom. So like that. So if he follows this, the king will be glorious. Even if he has nothing, people will respect him. Right? But if he doesn't act according to this, no one will like him. Right? Maybe his mother, but you can never tell. He's in the political field, hey, you know.
Maybe that's why you got that way.
That also. The king has been created to be the protector of the castes and orders, who, all according to their rank, discharge the several duties. Right? So the king is there to see that the orders are going on. So all the varnas and ashrams, everything's going on. Whatever must be done by him and by his servants for the protection of his people, that I will fully declare to you in due order. So the point is, he through his actions, he protects the people. Right? And so one of the things he has to deal with is punishment. But if that's not kind of gotten out of the way, because authority means he corrects. So that has to be seen. So if he doesn't have the character and all that, then it's not going to work. Okay. Alright, so now we see here, studying from learned Brahmins, avoiding vice, establishing the affairs of the government, right? So that gets into all the details of what one wonders about. But before that, it means to establish punishment, who's qualified for punishment, studying from the learned, you know, Brahmins, and avoiding vice yourself, so your sense control. Someone who can do all those, deal with all those four, then he can establish the government. Does that make sense? Yes.
But individually, you know, it's the same principle to establish our own.
Yes, of course, because it's the same principles that the father, the man is establishing his family. But the point is if he can't deal properly in the family and run it, then it won't work either. You know, it's also nothing. You know. So if he doesn't, you know, if he is, you know, the same way, voluptuous, partial, and deceitful, his family won't work. Right? But he's sense controlled, he works on the basis of authority, he does all these different things, then it'll work. So the point is, it's the same principle. Even your own life, it won't work, even if there's no one else. So it works for the self, it works for the family, it works for the community, it works for the nation. You know, so it's always good. Does that make sense? But we're saying is that, just like before we said, those things, you know, study, even though the king is studying, the grihastha is studying, you know, the vanaprastha sannyasa is studying, but the brahmachari, that's all he does is study. So therefore all the rules of study are explained in brahmachari ashram. But we'll think, oh, no, only they study, no one else. So the same way as for running governance, then this is how it works. But for the king, that's the full form of governance. But, you know, you're running a little office somewhere, it's still the same principle. right? But because that office, let's say, is doing business, therefore that's the prominence. Or it's an NGO, so it's doing charity work, that's the prominence. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the kind of things you see, is that, but this is because it's governance in an environment of pure governance. So therefore it's the, so you're studying and you're a student. Does that make sense? You're engaging the senses because you're a householder and you have all the facilities for it. So therefore all those things are explained there. You know what I'm saying? So that's how Manu's working. It's describing the particular item in completeness wherever it can be most completely manifest. Yes.
So this chapter is establishing the duties of the leader. Is a manager's duties seen within that, or is there a separate chapter establishing that?
Establishing?
The duties of a manager.
No, it's all within this. Because if you have the case, just like, you know, if you're studying Bhagavatam, is the study of Gita included? What if you want to study a half-page essay? You know what I'm saying? So it's already covered. If you can run a whole country, then... Because managers means they have a particular thing that they're supposed to see gets done. Right? So, ideally, they do that in consideration of people. But if they don't, it'll get done. So the overall thing will function, but at the same time, there'll be a weakness because of that, you know, lack of personal dealings. But if the king doesn't have that ability of personal dealings, then the whole thing won't run. So he's got to see is that those who in his governance aren't acting properly are corrected or removed. That'll come up later. So it's a big work. We think, yeah, you just want to be in charge. But how much is there, you know, is generally not considered. You know, it's just that you're in charge, so you get to go to all the meetings, and whatever you say, everybody's got to do. But the point is why should they do it? What's the machinery to make them do it? That no one worries about. We had a meeting. We discussed it. We came up with a resolution. Now it should just happen. Why should it happen? Just because you said? You know what I'm saying? Even God comes himself personally to establish Dharma. Because otherwise he's already said it in the Shastra. You know what I'm saying? So how is that real? How will that function? It's because you have the character, you have the energy to endeavor. You say, oh, it's so much work to do that. Then don't lead in this way, lead in another way. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what it says. It's said now already two or three times that the king has to have so much energy. Right? Just like if you want to do business, you have to have energy for business. Right? But for the king, economics is one of them. But for the businessman, economics is the problem. So he has energy for that, for profit, but the king has to have energy for everything. Brahmins have to have energy for knowledge and teaching. The shooters have to have energy for their art. Does that make sense? Otherwise, don't do it. If you don't have energy, why be involved?
My father described, he started a post-graduation course in the department that didn't have any tradition. He said that like two-thirds of the time went into little negotiations with people, connecting them, and that was the hardest part. The actual meetings were very brief and didn't make things
work. Generally, most don't have big, long meetings. Even if they have a meeting, it lasts 5-10 minutes. Like that. So these things we have hours and hours and hours, and that's not, you know. It's one thing if you're discussing philosophy. If you're discussing management, why would it take that long? Why managers couldn't tolerate that long of a meeting? They'd want to be doing something. As soon as an idea comes up that's good, you want to do it. So it's like you said, it's just a matter of talking to people and all that. So that's the management, that you're dealing with people. But those who can only deal with things, they have problems.
So basically, people who can only deal with things, they shouldn't have an employee position.
They can manage things. They should, you know, like you have a go down full of stuff. They can manage that, right?
But I mean, like oftentimes, at least, you know, I have seen temples, they end up being managed by people who are looking at economics.
That's there, but then still, even if that's there, you have to be personal and deal with the people so that they understand what you're doing, what the goal is, and how they can take part and be inspired that they're doing something. You know, and like that. He's grateful, he's, you know, friends, all these different things have to be there. Does that make sense? Like that. And if he does that, it'll prosper. And if he doesn't, then he'll get the bills paid, because that's why he was there. And, you know, and then once they're paid, then, you know, everything's downhill after that. Because, you know, you have to pay back the debt that the last temple president left there. But once you've paid that, now what's the goal? So what's the inspiration? Because going on, you know, 10 marathons a year is not inspiration. It is to him, because he simply sits back and counts the money. But for everybody else, it's not an inspiration. Okay, so we're done. So we'll continue. Tomorrow we'll study. We'll start with studying from learned Brahmins.
Tomorrow?
Oh, Thursday. Today's Tuesday. Somebody thought it was Monday. Okay, yes, so Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
yeah.
Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki,
yeah.
Jaya Nitai Gaura ki. Mm-hmm.